North Rock Podcast.
Well, let's jump into tonight, to the message for tonight. We are starting a new series this weekend, and I don't want to even talk about it as just a series of messages. I believe it's going to be a new season for us, because it includes everything we do in this room. It includes everything we do outside of this room. Worship is a part of that. When we talk about freedom, if you saw the billboard out there, it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And freedom is what we're going to be talking about for at least a couple months. We're going to be talking about freedom from any kind of captivity, bondage, slavery. We're going to talk about freedom in worship. We're going to talk about freedom in our finances. We're going to talk about freedom in Christ, freedom to be who He's called us to be, freedom across the board. You know that freedom is in the Bible a lot. In fact, the word free, freely freed, or freedom appears 80 different times. And these are 80 times, not where the word just appears, but where there's an actual theme about freedom. And so I believe if we see it in there that many times, I believe if we see it in the Bible one time, it's important. But if we see it 80 times, good grief, it must be something that we should take note of. It must be something we should pay attention to. And I believe every one of us in this room have some area of our lives that we can honestly say we don't have freedom in that area of our lives. I believe there's areas of our lives and just our lives in general that we don't even know the freedom that God wants to bring. I think worship is one of those. I remember when I just was kind of like, okay, what do I do in worship? And I remember the first day where I saw people like raising their hands, and I thought they were crazy. I'm like, what are these people doing? And the guy that was leading worship, he just talked about it. He says, you know, there's so many aspects of, it's just a surrender. You put your arms up and you just surrender. And then he talked about another aspect of it is just reaching out to your daddy, your father in heaven, saying, pick me up. And there's so much to it. And so I remember that weekend, I said, I'm just going to do this. And I lifted my hands, and it was crazy how much of a freedom I felt just in my life of instead of just living like this all the time, that God wanted to do something in my life. And He began that weekend with me in so many areas where I knew I was holding back. So we're going to talk about freedom. I believe in order to understand freedom, we must first look at what captivity or bondage or slavery looks like. So I looked up some of these different words in the dictionary, and bondage or captive is a state of subjection to a force, power, or influence. The practice of being restrained as with cords, chains, shackles, or handcuffs. Being held against your will, enslaved, or confined. And there's the word oppression that I think fits into this. Oppression is the feeling of being heavily weighed down in mind or body. How many of you can say, yeah, I relate to that? The act of subjugation by cruelty, force, etc. Condition of being afflicted or tormented. The exercise of authority or power in a crude or an unjust manner. You know, I believe even throughout this series, God's going to give us a heart for people that are physically in captivity. You know, there's a horrific, the numbers are staggering of how many people throughout this world are still physically in slavery when it comes to either being slaves in labor or sex slaves. I believe that's something God cares about, and he wants us to care about it too. So watch out, because this is going to be an experience for all of us, I believe. Again, it's not just going to be a series of messages, but an experience of what God wants to lead us into. He wants to lead us into freedom, and He wants to lead us into leading others into freedom. Anybody want to just say amen right there? Yes, I love it. So we can be enslaved and in bondage and captive to a lot of things. And I know you know most of them, but some of them we don't think about. We could be slaves to traditions and customs. What do I mean by that? Well, as the church, I think we can be captive to some things that aren't even in the Bible that we think, oh, we can't do that. I remember when I was feeling like I wanted to become a pastor, I remember thinking, well, I can't do that because I hate wearing ties, and I don't like the stuffiness that sometimes it feels in church, you know. And so I just remember just feeling almost held captive to that kind of thinking, that that's the way it should be. You know, that's not the Bible. The Bible doesn't say you have to get your tie on to go to church. In fact, Jesus says, come as you are. I want you just the way you are. And, you know, I remember when growing up and just seeing different churches and growing up in a different culture where there was an emphasis on that, that a lot of times people that didn't have enough money to pay for nice clothes, they felt like they couldn't go to church. And it's interesting, some of the things that culture puts on us, some of the things that religion puts on us, that actually make us slaves to these things. You know, that Jesus wants us to live a life of freedom. He wants nothing to stand in the way of what he wants to do in our lives. Nothing to stand in the way of our relationship with him. And oftentimes, traditions and customs and symbols can do that in our lives. And God wants, he sent his son Jesus to wipe all of that away. Do you know that it's no longer about being religious, but it's about the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ? And it's in that relationship, and only in that relationship, that we can find freedom. Jesus said, well, let me actually talk about a couple other areas we can be in bondage to. We can be in bondage to expectations from people. Anybody relate to that? Just expectations that people put on you, expectations maybe from parents or teachers, coaches, people in authority in your life. We can be in bondage to rules. What do you mean? Rules are good. They are good. They're there for a reason. But I remember one story in the Bible, the story where Jesus healed on the Sabbath. There's many other stories like this too. At that time, it was you keep the Sabbath holy, you don't work on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus, he saw someone that needed him, and so he healed them. And so the religious people got all huffy-puffy about it. Well, you can't do that! And what happened there? Religion, in their eyes, was more important than the relationship that Jesus wanted to have with this person. Don't be a slave to rules. Don't be a slave to the things that people put on you, the things that you think, oh, well, in order for me to be a good person, I have to measure up. Be a slave to the relationship with Jesus. Now, again, I'm not saying rules are bad. Don't leave here tonight and our pastor said rules are bad. I didn't say that. Don't be a slave to them. We can be slaves to sin. I think we all, every one of us in this room, can say, yeah, I've been in bondage. There's been a stronghold in my life. Or maybe now there is. Slaves to what other people think about us. I got to be honest, this is one that I struggle with. Struggle with what are people going to think if I do that? You know, as a pastor, it's hard to just completely be yourself at times, because you're always consumed with, are people going to like what I do? What if I make that decision and people don't like it? It's hard. It's difficult. We can be a slave to those things. We can be a slave to fear. And Jesus came to wipe all of that out and to give us a freedom. He says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now remember, I want you to remember, because it's going to be a theme in our series, the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to remember that phrase. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. That's Jesus in his word saying, this is what I came to do. If he was standing here before us today in the flesh, he would look at you and he said, I have come to bring the good news to the poor. I have come to liberate those who are held in bondage, and I have come to set the captives free. And Jesus' next words would be, that's all of you in this room. It's available for every one of us. It's his own words right there. And I just want to say that any message or religion that binds you rather than frees you is not good news. It's not the message in the gospel of Jesus. It's always got to be the good news. And the good news is always letting captives free, bringing freedom. I'm going to show a little video here. of a woman's testimony who was physically in bondage, but it's also a spiritual thing because we see that it affected her, that religion had an effect on her. So let's watch this, and then I will be back.
It was 1979, the year that a million protesters flooded the streets when the Ayatollah Khomeini overthrew the Shah of Iran. He established Islamic law for all citizens. Samira was just a young girl when this happened.
In the beginning, I had a very fun childhood. When I was born, it was during the Shah's time, and soon after was the Islamic Revolution.
Samira's family didn't practice Islam, though, so she rebelled against the strict laws.
We started having clothes restrictions. We couldn't wear certain clothes anymore. Then we had to wear overcoats and jeans and scarves. Then there was color restrictions. We only had to wear dark colors like black, gray, dark navy, brown. And you can imagine it gets very hot in the summer in Iran, and so it was very difficult.
She especially hated the laws that didn't treat boys and girls as equals.
You would go to a swimming pool, the boys could go swimming, but the girls couldn't, because if the government police came by and saw girls in the swimming pool, parents and families would be arrested and taken to jail. Little by little, I felt as a little girl, they took the life out of me, where what used to be fun, going to school used to be fun, playing with my friends used to be fun, all of that changed.
One day, Samira experienced the injustice of being treated as a second-class citizen. Her hair had come out of her head covering, and a female police officer stepped in.
She grabbed me. She starts shaking me. "What are you doing? You have hair showing." And she started, going on and on about how what I'm doing is a sin and what I'm doing is completely inappropriate. And I kind of kicked her as a little kid and ran away so I don't get arrested. I was afraid of being arrested or being thrown in jail because I had some hair showing. But it was very traumatizing for me as a little girl.
She began to associate the strict Islamic laws with God himself.
I remember thinking, if this is God, I want no part of him. Because if God exists, he is just and he's going to be fair. He's not going to make a big difference between a man and a woman.
Her views were challenged, though, when her family moved to the United States. Her younger sister became a Christian, and it wasn't her new religion that Samira noticed. It was the change in her heart.
She became a different person. And when I looked into her eyes, I remember thinking, wow, what a dramatic difference. I thought I was seeing angels. And it was through that that I saw power of Christ, and I thought, maybe God exists.
She decided to find out what made such a difference in her sister's life and talked to her pastor.
He came to talk to me, and we sat down, and he shared the Bible with me and the story of Christ and salvation.
She still had questions in her mind, but what she heard one day on a Christian radio program made it all clear.
The radio station was talking about a lady who had tried to do good, who tried to help people, but at the end of the day, she didn't know where she was going because she didn't have God in her life. I thought, when it's time for me to go, I don't know where I'm going.
Samira prayed with the man on the radio.
I went through the prayer with him. The salvation prayer, not realizing what I had done, and I accepted Christ into my heart.
She's amazed at the freedom women have in Christ.
And so when you see Jesus and how he talks about women in the Bible and how he values women, I just think that just all helped me realize that how God is just and love, no matter what time in history we're talking about.
Today, Samira actively works in the legal system, helping women in the United States escape from the harsh rules of the Islamic lifestyle.
I thank God for the fact that I'm here in the United States. I thank God for the freedom that I have.
Samira knows firsthand that true freedom comes only through Jesus Christ.
We've seen a lot of societies how women are put down, women are treated badly, all because of who they are and what they come from. But when it comes to Jesus, all of that goes away, and we have all the same rights. We all have the same amount of love that we get from God, which is a lot. And we're all one. There's no difference. And I think that's the beauty of Jesus.
Amen. If you look at all the famous people in history who have been freedom fighters or abolitionists, they all have one thing in common. They look like Jesus. They act like Jesus. They came, they dedicated their whole life to setting people free. And that's what I love about following Jesus, if I can be honest with you, is I love the freedom that comes with following Jesus, the freedom to be myself, the freedom to be who God has created me to be. I want to look at Galatians chapter 5. This is the passage that we're going to be looking at tonight, and as well throughout the series. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. I would encourage you to bring your Bibles because then you have the opportunity to do highlights and underline stuff. But we do have it up on the screen for you as well if you don't have your Bibles. So starting with verse 1 in Galatians chapter 5. And this is a passage that's titled Freedom in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And we're going to skip some of the verses just for the sake of time. Go down to verse 7. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. I think right there's a picture of you're going along and you've allowed the things of people, the things of this world to get on you, to weigh you down. Certainly wasn't God. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. It's legalism, it's what's talking about there. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, whoever has been confusing you. And I think that speaks to a lot right there. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of the areas in my life where I don't believe in myself, or I question who God is, or maybe I just don't know if I really truly believe what people say when they talk about God loves you. If you think about it, a lot of that has been affected by who? By people in your lives, influences in your life. So that's speaking to that here. Verse 13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now let's go to verse 16 here. This is how this all happens. And this is where we begin in this series. It says this, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. We've talked about that here at this church, that there's two things fighting inside of us. There's our flesh, and then there is our spirit, the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And whichever one we feed the most is going to win out. It says this, the sinful nature wants you to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, there it is again, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then here's a famous verse that we've all probably heard. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And these are all associated with freedom. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So we see two major themes here. One is God wants us to have what? Freedom. How do we walk in freedom? The Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God. I believe that a good example of this is it's the difference between a rowboat and a sailboat. Think about it. A sailboat, you put the sails up, the wind gets a hold of it, and it takes you somewhere, doesn't it? It's kind of effortless, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I would rather be in a sailboat every day of the week than a rowboat. Because what happens in a rowboat? You get in, you get the paddle, and you have to struggle, and you have to make sure that you're going the right direction. And by the time you get to where you want to go, what happens? You're exhausted. This is the difference between being led by the Spirit of God or just trying to do it all on your own. It's the difference between a sailboat and a rowboat. Here's the fear of living like a sailboat. You don't always know where the wind and the sails are going to take you. And we don't like not knowing, do we? Sometimes we choose doing it ourselves and knowing where we're going to go over allowing the Spirit of God to take us where He wants to go, and we choose that because we have control, don't we? When the Spirit says, just let me take control, let me be the wind in your sails that takes you where I want you to go, well, that requires us giving up control of our lives. And God knows we don't like to do that. 99.999% of our problems are because we want control of our lives. And we don't want to give up that control to the Spirit of God that lives inside of us if we have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be a sailboat. Instead, we struggle with the paddle and we try harder and harder and we end up where we want to end up, or at least we end up where we think we want to end up, but by the time we get there, we're spent. We're beat up. We look back and go, is that worth it? How many times have you said that in your life? You get to where you think you want to go, and it's, was that worth it? The opposite is you allow the Spirit of God to lead you and take you, and when you end up there, you look back and you're like, wow, that was kind of tough, but man, it was worth it. To be in the will of God, to be where God wants me to be, yes, it was worth it. And that's what freedom is about. Brothers and sisters, freedom in Christ is about letting Him take you where you want to go, where He wants to take you. If you want freedom, let me tell you something. If you want to put something on Twitter tonight, this is what you got to put on there. Are you ready? And you can do it while I'm preaching. I don't care. Rose will probably be the first one. If you want freedom, and this is so profound, it's so simple, but if you want freedom, you got to give up control. You have to. Because if you want to just keep controlling your life, you're going to keep ending up in the same places that you keep ending up. And wondering why. Why do I keep ending up in these places? Why do I try so hard? How many of us can honestly say that we've had moments, even recently, where it's like, I don't even want to try anymore? Do you know that's a good thing? When you get to that place, I'm not going to try anymore. And obviously, we try. We allow the Spirit of God. We want to try. But I'm talking about those the moments where you are just frustrated with it and you're ready to give up. And the reason you're ready to give up isn't because God hasn't been faithful in your life. It's because you've been trying so hard to do it on your own. We've been trying so hard to do it on our own. If we want freedom, we got to give up control. I think another beautiful picture of freedom is Isaiah 40:31. It says, but those who trust in the Lord, or those who wait on the Lord, will find new strength. Now, I think this is the best picture of freedom in the entire Bible. It says this, they will soar high on wings like eagles. That's freedom. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We have an eagle habitat by our house, and so every once in a while we'll see them soaring in the sky. And I always know it's an eagle, and the way I always know it's an eagle is they're way up there, and they're not flapping their wings. It's effortless. It's this picture of if you trust in God, if you will wait on Him and allow Him to be your strength, as it says He renews our strength, what's going to be the result is you're going to soar with wings like eagles. Now, this is the difference between an eagle and a hummingbird. You guys seen a hummingbird? They look so nervous. It's like they're just flying around. They have to flap like 1,000 times a second in order to stay up, right? Have you ever seen a hummingbird just stop? No, they'd fall straight to the ground. I would love to see that. Todd, you said you have? Okay, when they land. But in midair, if they want to not fall, it's not effortless with them. And listen, let me just say this. God designed us, and the intention for our lives is freedom, that we might be the eagle that's soaring high above everything else effortlessly. That's how we were designed, but often, so many times, our lives look like that hummingbird that's just like frantic, paddling, just trying to, And we just, our lives are frantic, aren't they? I mean, seriously, think about the last week of your life. Was it effortless? Oh, this is fantastic. And that's not saying it's perfect. Don't get me wrong, because there's still the struggles, the trials, the tribulations. But I'm talking about the state of mind, that the freedom of spirit and emotion that God wants us to all live in. It doesn't get rid of the circumstances. We're not free from circumstances, but we have freedom in the midst of the circumstances. I'm preaching tonight. Let me just finish with a couple thoughts. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. If we have a relationship with God, Romans 8:11 talks about the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of each one of us. Then we see 2 Corinthians 3:17. And I want to say that the reason that the Spirit of God lives inside of us, He lives there for a reason. I want to tell you why He lives there. It's for freedom. He lives inside of you for freedom, to give you freedom. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If the Spirit of God is living inside of you, you know what's living inside of you is freedom. And that's why the Bible says, be led by the Spirit of God. That's going to lead you into freedom. And I think that some of us, we know that the Spirit of God lives inside of us, but we're not allowing the Spirit to lead our lives. And the moment that you begin to allow the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, if you're a believer, if you're not a believer, it can happen tonight, just like that. You can enter into a relationship with Jesus, and instantly the Spirit of God resides in you, makes you His home. And the reason He lives in you was Jesus says, I have to go. He says, I got to go. I've been on this earth 33 years. I'm done. I don't like it down here. He probably said that. I don't know if He did or not. He says, but I'm going. And He said this. He said, it's better that I go so that I can leave you with what? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus left, but He didn't leave us alone. What did He do? He deposited inside of us his people, the saints, the people that he died on the cross for. All of us that have said yes to Him, He left us with His Holy Spirit to guide us, to be the guiding force, the guiding person, the counselor, the comforter, the Spirit of God that reveals all truth in our life. He guides us. And in Galatians 5:16, as we read, it says, let the Holy Spirit, what? It says, guide your lives. Let's have the worship band come back up. I want to give you a starting point for this series. And it's three things. Because I know some of you might be asking the question, I ask it all the time, well, how do I let the Spirit of God who lives in me freely guide my life? How do we do that? Well, there's no just formula, but I want to give you a starting point on that I believe will begin to grow inside of each one of us. And even if it's already there, don't get me wrong, I'm not assuming that anyone in this room doesn't have at least an idea of this, but I'm also not assuming that we all do. And so here's the starting point of how we let the Spirit of God freely guide our lives, to bring freedom in our lives. The first one is you got to know Him. You got to know God. You got to know the Spirit of God who lives inside of you. You got to know who He is, what He thinks about you. You got to know how awesome He is. You got to know why He came, what his purpose is on this earth. You got to know those things. How do you get to know those things? It's through the Word of God. It's through church. It's through Bible study. It's through podcasts. Get to know God this year. Get to know Him. Do you know the Bible says in John 8:32, it says that you will know the truth. And what's the truth? It's the truth of this story. It's the truth of who God is. It's the truth of Jesus. It's the truth of this message, the gospel. And the second part of that says, and the truth will set you free. You'll have freedom through the truth. So you got to know Him. You got to know Him. You can't have freedom if you don't know the giver of freedom. You can't have anything if you don't know who's given it. The second piece to that is you got to know who you are. I want to speak something to you right now and speak over you, is that you are not all the stuff that's been put on you by others and by this world. You're not. You're not those things. Those things have been put on you. The things that are weighing you down, the things that are heavy, the things that are keeping you captive or keeping you in bondage, or to have a stronghold on your life, the chains, that's not who you are. Those are things that have been put on you by this world. We live in a world where stuff gets put on us, don't we? And if you've lived on this earth any amount of time, you can look back and you're like, how did I pick that up? Where did that come from? Good grief. It's that easy, isn't it? You just walk through this life and you just make little choices that maybe aren't the best choices. And before you know it, you're like, can't get on an airplane because you got too much baggage. Now, here's the good news. Jesus came to set the captives free. And you are meant to live freely. And you got to know that you are a son or a daughter of God, of the creator of the universe. And there's such freedom that comes in that. There's such freedom in knowing that I am a son of God. And the idea of a son with a perfect father means that I am in right standing with Him. I am His son. And the Bible says that He loved me so much that He sent His son while I was still a sinner to die for me. If I don't believe that, I'm never going to have freedom. But if that begins to sink in, freedom's going to happen in my life, because I realize I'm not these things. I'm a child of God. Philippians 2:15. Actually have a tattoo with this on it. Don't get weighed down with that kind of stuff either. Watch out. Whatever you think. Anyways, we'll talk about that another time. Philippians 2:15 says this, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and a crooked generation, and you will shine among them like stars in the sky. And the third one here that has to happen, again, this is a starting point. We're laying down the foundation for what God wants to do with freedom in our lives. Is the third one is you got to know His voice. You got to know what the Holy Spirit sounds like in your life. And this is something that has to be practiced. I believe the best way to begin to hear God's voice is to read His word. You're meant to be spoken to by this. You hear God's voice when I'm preaching. This isn't anything I'm not bragging about, that I'm speaking God's word, but I am. I don't have any other, the only resource that I use for my messages is the word of God. So when I preach and when I deliver these messages, you're hearing God's word. He's speaking to you. And what's interesting is after the service, people will come up to me and someone will say, this is what God spoke to me. And another person will come up and it'll become something completely different. You know why? Because He's speaking to every single one of you individually in this room the way He wants to speak to you. Now he's speaking to all of us as well, collectively, but he's speaking individually to all of you. He does that when you read his word. He does that when you just sit quietly with him. Let me tell you a way that you can really practice outside of listening to his word and reading his word. Because as we know in Psalm 119, it says, his word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. But I want you to begin to practice something in your life. And that is that on a daily basis, when there's something that you're faced with, a decision, it doesn't even have to be a huge decision, but just a choice in your life, I want you to actually say, God, I want to hear you speak to me in this. I want to know what to do here. I just want to hear you speak to me. And you're not going to hear an audible voice. Maybe you will. I haven't heard an audible voice. But you're going to sense it in your spirit. And it may not happen instantly where you're just like, whoa, a jolt, and it just happened. But the more that you practice this, the more that God is going to lead you. He'll lead you through peace. He'll lead you through just something that comes to your mind of, yeah, I should do this. I mean, if we can all be honest, and I'm going to end with this. How many of you have ever done something wrong, but before you did it, there was something that said, I should not do that? I mean, we can all raise our hands in here. So you've heard from God, every one of you. And that's how it works, is God speaks to us on a daily basis. And he begins to lead you by his Holy Spirit. And you begin to experience freedom in your life. So we're going to worship God with a couple more songs here. And we're going to actually have a time during this series where we talk about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where we gather together, there's freedom in this. There's freedom in even what we do here together. There's freedom in worshiping. There's a freedom that comes from proclaiming, by putting the proclamations of who God is on our lips. There's such freedom in that. What I want to do is I just want to end tonight by just meditating on what we've talked about. And just by letting the presence of God, the Spirit of God, just come in this room and just begin to speak to us. Listen for him tonight. It's not a weird thing. It's not a weird thing. If you believe in God, who you can't see with your physical eyes, then you can certainly believe that he speaks to us. He absolutely does. So let's all stand together. God, would you just begin something new in each one of us, God? Would you continue what you've begun in many of us, Lord? And would you just lead us into new territory, God, when it comes to the freedom that you came to give us. God, we want to be people that walk in freedom, that live free lives, God. We love you. We thank you, Father. We love you. We give you praise, God. Thank you, God. We just worship you tonight, Lord. If we could just close our eyes, I want to give an opportunity right now. If there's anyone in this room that doesn't have a relationship with God, I just want to let you know what the Bible says about that. It says that while you were still a sinner, he died for you. He loved you before you did anything, before you even had a chance to get right. It was already done for you. And it's called grace. He did that to make salvation available to you because he knew that there was no way you could earn that on your own. And so the Bible says if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross, that you're saved. That God sent his son to save you. And if you want to do that tonight, if you want to say yes to that, that's all you have to do is just say yes. And you're in a relationship with a God who loves you and has pursued you. So right now, if there's anyone here with every eye closed and you would like to say yes tonight, just lift your hand right where you're at. I'd just like to lead you in a simple prayer. Anybody here tonight, you want this relationship that you've heard about with God. You want to be saved. I see your hand back here. You can put it down once you put it up. Anyone else? This is the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life. I see your hand right over here. You can put it down. Anybody else? Praise God. I'm just going to say a prayer now, and just it's not even the words of this prayer, but it's your heart saying this tonight. It's your heart just saying, God, yes, I want this. I want a relationship with you. I don't want to be distant from you any longer. And so tonight, God, I say yes. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me, that I could have eternity, not separate from you, but with you. Tonight, I willingly and happily enter into this amazing relationship. I don't deserve it, but through what your son did for me, I get it. And I'm so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.